Two kinds.
Imao.
These. Anuso chanti. They lament. Valao. Ignorant. Asat. The foolish. Avagrahao. Taking the path of. Yat. That which. Loka. By custom. Shastra. By scriptures. Upanatam. Presented. Na. Never. Rati. Follows. Na. Neither. Tat. That. Itchati. Desires. Translation. One who does not give charity according to the customs. He guess he didn't see the sign on the outside of the temple room. Just turn off your mobile phone before you come in the temple room. One who does not give charity according to the customs or injunctions of the scriptures, and one who does not accept charity in that way are considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Such persons follow the path of the foolish. Surely they must lament at the end. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is herein stated that one should strictly follow the scriptures if one wants an auspicious life. The same is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, text 23. Yashastra vinim hustritya vartate kama karataha nasasidim upapnoti nasukam na param gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. One who does not strictly follow in the terms of the Vedic injunctions never attains success in life or happiness. And what to speak of going back home, back to Godhead? One Shastric injunction holds that a householder, a Kshatriya, or an administrative head should not refuse to accept a woman if she voluntarily requests to become a wife. You better be careful, you householders. Since Kalakanya, the daughter of time, was deputed by Narada Muni to offer herself to Yavana Raj, the king of the Yavanas could not refuse her. All transactions must be performed in light of these Shastric injunctions. The Shastric injunctions are confirmed by great sages like Narada Muni. As stated by Narottama Das Thakur, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chiteti Koriya Oikya. One should follow the principles of saintly persons, scriptures, and the spiritual master. In this way, one is sure to attain success in life. Kalakanya, the daughter of time, presented herself before the king of the Yavanas precisely in terms of Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. Thus, there was no reason for not accepting her. Dvabhimau manusho chanti valabhasana vagrahau yalloka shastrupanatam navrati natad vichyati. So, omagana tibiranda shaganjana shlakya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So, there's several interesting points here. So, for those of you who read this particular verse and think it indicates that if a lady approaches you, you have to accept her as your wife, even if you have another wife, it doesn't apply to you, and I'll explain why. There's several reasons. One reason is that this is Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, Kali, Kalera, Dharma, Krishna, Nama, Sankirtan, Ekon Dharma, there's one Dharma in Kali Yuga. What is that Dharma? Krishna Nam Sankirtan. That is the Dharma that one has to execute. And of course, there's secondary Dharmas, such as that mentioned here, but these do not specifically all apply in the Kali Yuga. I mean, for example, there's other things that don't apply, such as Ashwamedha, Gomedha. You know what that means? Ashwamedha means like a horse sacrifice, a cow sacrifice, taking sannyas, that is Mayavadi sannyas, as Prabhupada describes it, or having a relationship with your brother's wife. I mean, these things are just not applicable in Kali Yuga. So the question is, and Prabhupada points this out very nicely in the purport, the question is, how do we know which things are applicable and which things are not applicable? Therefore, we have the three principles of sadhu, shastra, and guru. If you just take shastra and you take it out of context without the instruction of the guru or the instruction of the sadhu, you can be misled in Krishna consciousness. I mean, for example, there are injunctions in the shastras that a vanaprastha is supposed to wear tree bark. So, how many grow? Or not supposed to eat cooked food. What to speak of a sannyasi? You know, practically a sannyasi is not even supposed to enter building, just supposed to go at the time of milking the cow. I mean, so there are injunctions like that. So, how do we know which injunctions to accept and which injunctions not to accept? Therefore, we have our spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder, Acharya. Acharya, there's two words there. Founder means he started the Krishna conscious movement. That's easy to understand. Acharya, just like there's achar and prachar. And those of you who are interested in eating, achar means like, you know, anyway, some spicy food. You know, some mango pickles, that's achar for you. But for those of us who want to be Krishna conscious, achar means there's an example, means example, how someone acts. You understand? Achar and prachar. Prachar means how someone speaks, and achar means how someone acts. So Srila Prabhupada teaches us by his example what is to be accepted, what is not to be accepted in the Vedic literatures. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, there's even injunctions for householders. They're supposed to have a fire sacrifice constantly going in their house, and they're supposed to have like a yagya in the morning, a yagya in the evening. I mean, how many householders do that in the Krishna conscious movement? And so, because there are different yugas, because there are different circumstances, Srila Prabhupada comments that one injunction may not be applicable in one country and may be applicable in another country. You understand? So Prabhupada expertly gave us the scriptural injunctions that are applicable. So this particular scriptural injunction about accepting a lady who offers herself as your wife is not applicable in this day and age. In other words, don't worry, you guys. You know, because you know, the women will read this verse, they get very enthusiastic. I'd like to have him as a husband, you know. And you have to accept me. It says in the Prabhupada's books, you know. You're offending Prabhupada. You're disobeying the order of Prabhupada unless you accept me, you know. So someone may say that, isn't it? I've seen that. I've seen that happen. And also sometimes like with things like polygamy. You've all heard of polygamy before? Like Prabhupada sometimes makes statements about polygamy, you know, oh, you know, this might be useful or in the Krishna conscious movement or something like that. But then Prabhupada actually forbade it. You understand? So there's guru, shastra, and sadhu. These are the checks and balances. How do we know what to apply in shastra? That's Prabhupada. I mean, I'll give you another example. There's so many examples that come to mind. One is like the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And there's many injunctions about things you should eat and things you should not eat in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Do you know that according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, carrots are forbidden for Vaishnavas? I don't know if you knew this. You didn't know this. And if you go into the Gaudiya Math, isn't it? They'll say if you eat carrots or there's other things like root crops, potatoes, you know, things like that. They say, oh, it's forbidden. You're actually breaking the regulated principles. But our spiritual master is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Jai Shishi Gornatai Radha Radha Kanta Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Our spiritual master is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He ate carrots, and not only ate carrots, but he taught us how to prepare different carrot preparations, like carrot halva, and Ekadashi. You know, so therefore, you understand what to apply and what not to apply. I mean, the reason, it's not that Prabhupada was disobeying the order of Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, but Prabhupada comments very intelligently that many of the injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilas were meant to attract ritualistic brahmanas. You understand? Because that's who Sanatana Goswami was preaching to. So he had to present Krishna consciousness in terms of ritualistic brahmanism. And the ritualistic brahmanas, they have so many injunctions. I mean, just like some of you may know some of the injunctions, it's like one injunction is you're not supposed to pick Tulsi Devi on the Dwadasi, right? But there's actually other things you didn't read. You're not supposed to pick her on the Ekadasi, the Dwadasi, or the Purnima. Those three times. Plus, there's certain times of the day you're not supposed to pick her. I mean, it gets really complicated. And if you have to, like Prabhupada said, if I told you all the injunctions, you would faint. You understand? So Prabhupada understood that which, those injunctions which were applicable and those which were not applicable. Those which were instituted according to time, place, and circumstance, and those which were eternal principles. Like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they did the same thing. Nana Shastra Vicharan Aiki Nipano, Sadharma Sam Stapako, Lokanam Hitatkarano Chibhuvane, Manyosha Ranyakaro, as described by Srinivasacharya, isn't it? Six Goswamis understood, perused, that means they read, studied, the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing the eternal principles, the principles that were actually important. You understand? Because if you get into all the different Vedic injunctions, Vedic principles, you'll go crazy if you're not a ritualistic Brahmin. If you're a ritualistic Brahmin, you'll be in ecstasy. Because you like that, you know, performing sacrifice all day long. Swaha, swaha, swaha. But most of us, we actually go crazy doing that, isn't it? We want to do other things like drive a taxi, right? Yeah. Make money, right? So the most, actually in Kali Yuga, the most people can take is like 1 or 2 hours of deity service and they have to go out and make money, right? We see that even with the devotees here. And they're Dambasis. I mean, that's a very high position. They're Dambasis, but now they've become taxiwalas. It's like if you ask them, what is your gotra? A taxi gotra. Because it's interesting, in India, gotra usually indicates the occupation, too, of someone. It's you even have people with a gotra that they're clothes washing gotra. What's the name for that again? In Hindi? Dobiwala. Yeah, Dobiwala. Dobiwala. What's your gotra? Dobiwala. Yeah, that's true. I mean, some people have gotra Dobiwala, some people have Prajapati Wala. Prajapati gotra.
Like
Aluwala.
Alu,
alu. Oh yeah, Sabji. Sabji seller. Aluwala. Aluwala.
Who is a sudra?
What about a sweet wala? What do you call that?
Mitaiwala.
Mitaiwala. So that Mitaiwala, yeah. So we have a friend who used to be at his comes from a hat salesman family. He's called Topiwala.
Yeah,
So it's interesting. I mean, it's very, very interesting, all these different names, isn't it? Topiwala, Mitiwala, Dobiwala, Prajapati. That means they're supposed to have a lot of kids. Anyway, so the point is that in Kali Yuga, isn't it? Kaloshudra Sambhava. So, therefore, the actual injunction in Kali Yuga is to chant Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya tells us to accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable in that process. You understand? And if people get too much into the rituals, that's called Niyam Agraha. Isn't it? Niyam Agraha means you get too much in the rituals, you forget what you're doing, you forget the purpose of life, and you forget to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, I have some friends who get up early every morning, they're householders, do their puja and the deity worship and everything like that, but their rounds, they chant, you know, while they're driving the car or something like that. So the real point is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Everything else is meant to assist in that. Every other thing, the deity worship, the whatever we do, all the other Pancharatriki Vidhi stuff. We talked about Pancharatriki Vidhi yesterday. Is it meant to actually help us focus on the holy names with the right attitude? Because what does it mean to focus on the holy names? The right attitude towards the holy names. I'm a servant of the holy names. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in his Shikshastika, I nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishamaya bhavambudo kripaya tapa padapankaja stita duli sadrasam vachintaya. Oh my Lord. Oh, I nanda tanuja kinkaram. I am your servant. But somehow or other I fall into this horrible ocean of birth and death. So please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So therefore, that's the purpose of everything we do, is just to help us focus and help get other people to focus on the holy name. Two things. For us to focus and to get other people to focus on the holy names. You know, preaching, sankirtan, like that. Both things. And that's it. And the holy names. And that part of Krishna kirtan is the pastimes of Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna, you know, Krishna katha. Those words spoken by Krishna, those words spoken about Krishna. That's it. That's the essence of the Krishna conscious movement. And if you get too much into these other things, I mean, sometimes we find devotees get so much into other things, like, I mean, astrology, for example. You know, they say, you know, I really can't chant Hare Krishna very well because I'm going through my Saturn period now. You know, Saturn, Sunny Saturn. I'm going through my... You ever heard of that? Prabhu, you know, it says in my horoscope that I'm not going to be able to follow the regulative principles right now. And, you know, I'm going to go through a difficult time, so it's not my fault. You know, we want to actually deny responsibility, abdicate our responsibility by blaming others or blaming the stars for our own lack of Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Or we blame others. The reason I can't become Krishna conscious is because the temple president is not so nice. Huh? What does that have to do? I mean, Krishna, there's no impediment. Haituki, apretiyata, yayatma supersedite, right? Savaipum sampara dharma yato bhakti and hoksaje. Haituki, apretiyata, yayatma supersedite. What does that mean? Anybody know that verse? Savaipum sam. For a person, the topmost dharma is devotion to Krishna. And that devotion to Krishna, that pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, has no material cause to it. You know, it's not that I can chant Hare Krishna nicely because I ate a lot of sweets this morning. You understand? I can chant Hare Krishna nicely because the air conditioner is on in here. And if the air conditioner wasn't on, I wouldn't be able to chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? You hear this excuse so many times. And a pratyata, it's not stopped under any condition. In other words, there's nobody can impede your Krishna consciousness. Actually, there is someone who can impede your Krishna consciousness. You. That's the only person. You decide, you know, I'm not going to be Krishna, I'm not going to chant nicely, and then I'll just blame the temple president for it. That's convenient. Excuse. It's like, even in the material world, you know, people blame others. You're making me angry, right? When you can't control your senses, or the man is blaming the woman, you're making, you know, you're the cause of my lust, right? Huh? Just like Arjuna. Arjuna was approached by Urvasi. You know that story? Urvasi approached Arjuna, and Urvasi was so beautiful that she could make the stones melt, practically speaking. And so she approached Arjuna, but Arjuna was, he was able to control his senses. So in the same way, we have the ability to control our senses, we have the ability to control anger, we have the ability to focus on Krishna. Krishna says, I'm the ability in man, because Krishna will give us that ability. So if we're not able to do it, it's our fault. Blame ourselves, right? It's your fault. You can do it. You can do it. There's no problem with it. Anyway, getting back to the whole point of this verse, is talking about talking about charity, it's talking about Vedic injunctions that we should accept or not accept. So let's talk about charity, because we already talked about the Vedic injunctions, which ones we accept, which ones we don't accept. So as far as charity is concerned, that's a very interesting topic. Of course, Krishna dwells on that topic of charity in the 17th chapter of the Gita. I want to read the verses from the 17th chapter, because Krishna designates different types of charity as pertaining or connected with different modes. In the 20th verse of the 17th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, charity given out of duty without an expectation of return at the proper time and place to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. In the 21st verse, Krishna says, charity performed with the expectation of some return or with a desire for fruitive results or in a grudging mood is said to be charity in the mode of passion, and finally in the mode of ignorance. The 22nd verse, charity performed in an impure place in an improper time to unworthy persons without proper attention and respect is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So one thing you can understand in relationship to this verse and purport is that both charity and goodness and passion are actually according to Shastric injunctions. It's just ignorance is not. You understand? But the intention is different. In goodness, you're doing it to the proper, of course, the proper time and place and circumstance and everything like that, but without any expectation of return. That's goodness. And what makes goodness different from passion is that you're doing the same thing, but you want some return for it. You understand? So both are according to Shastra. You're still following Shastra in the mode of passion. But in the mode of ignorance, you don't follow Shastra, you give to the wrong person, you give the wrong charity. And what Prabhupada talks about in regard to this is like giving to a drunkard or something like that, or giving money for intoxication, like some bum comes up to you in the street. I don't want to criticize anybody. Anyway, so somebody without sufficient money, forget about bum. Anyway, somebody without sufficient money comes up to you in the street and says, please, buddy, give me a dime for a cup of coffee. Of course, they don't say dime anymore. That was about 50 years ago when they would say dime, right? Nowadays they say, give me $5 to go to Starbucks for a cup of coffee, right? Because now, in the old days, coffee was just like, you know, some mud you got in the street. But nowadays, they become a fancy experience, right? Starbucks, you've heard of Starbucks before? Anyway, so let's say someone comes up to you and you give him the money and either gets coffee, or usually he won't get coffee, he'll get liquor or something like that, right? Wine or brandy. I was just reading, someone was making an excuse for drinking brandy. They said, brandy is all right to drink because it's just condensed fruit juice. You're just getting rid of the water. So it's actually very healthy for you, you know, you're taking... It's like a juice, like you get a juicer or something like that, and you juice a lot of juice, and you could get a lot of antioxidants and stuff like that, so brandy is very healthy for you. So a devotee was just saying that to me. So, anyway, so you give charity to someone, and they may buy brandy, so that's charity in the mode of ignorance. Okay? So the question is, I think the larger question for devotees is, what charity should we give people? I think that's a really important question. Because we find devotees on one end of the spectrum, they're saying the only charity we should give people is, you know, Prabhupada's books or chanting of Hare Krishna. And maybe some prasadam. You know, that's it. And the other hand, we find devotees say, well, we should be like Mother Teresa, just give them whatever they want. You understand? So you got both ends. The pendulum is swinging both ways. So I think if we read the books of the acharyas, particularly Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can understand how to properly give people charity. And it's actually a complicated thing, because Prabhupada did say that if people are starving, they're not going to be able to take up Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that if people's needs have to be met, both material and spiritual needs. So therefore, in order to properly give charity, we also have to ascertain what are the person's needs, both materially and spiritually. Bhaktivinoda actually states this. It's actually quite a radical statement as far as the way devotees traditionally have understood it. Because I know, for example, like there's one devotee who's like radical on the other side, just chant Hare Krishna to people, and if they're suffering, that's their tough luck. And he says, he even calls food for life, food for death, you know. So you got one, that's a real radical statement. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't say that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicates that a devotee should see to all the needs of someone. Of course, the spiritual need has to be included or integrated in all the needs. Very important. Very, very important. And this indicates that a devotee has to be compassionate. Like Prabhupada said, a compassionate person, when he sees someone else suffering, will naturally respond to that suffering. Or there's the example when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going through either Mayapur or Vrindavan with his disciples, and there were beggars there. The beggars were asking for something, and the disciples, they didn't want to give anything. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you are thinking that you are better than them. Like that. In other words, due to pride, you're not giving anything to them. But actually, you should even help them materially, he was indicating. He didn't say that directly. So a devotee should help people both spiritually. What does that mean practically? Well, that may mean like giving out prasadam, like we're doing here, and also sometimes distributing clothes to people at the same time if they need clothes, if there's a flood area, just like in Fiji. There was recently a flood. I think you've all experienced floods. Fiji. That's an islands in the South Pacific. They had cyclone. There they have cyclones. That's what a hurricane is called in the South Pacific because it goes in the opposite direction. You understand? A hurricane goes one direction here in the north, another direction in the south. Did you know that? They're opposite directions. You know, opposite. Clockwise, counterclockwise. Yeah, counterclockwise. So anyway, they had a cyclone or something, and the water was actually 5 meters deep. Deeper than anything here. You understand? That means 5 meters means like 18 feet. Higher than that. So it's very high. So the devotees, they got together and they distributed prasadam, got people chanting, and gave people clothes. And then not only that, but they gave out all these things to people regardless of whether people were Hindu or Muslim or Christian or like that. Whereas the other organizations, like the Christian organization, only gave it to Christians. The Muslim organization only gave it to Muslims. But devotees gave to everybody. So in other words, so one may criticize, you know, this is just like some mundane charity. But they help people and gave Krishna consciousness at the same time. If you just help people, don't give Krishna consciousness, that's mundane. Do you understand? Just like in Vrindavan, we have our schools are called the Sandapani Muni schools. Anyone ever heard of them or visited them? Or no? Yeah, one person did. So they take the poor children, give them prasadam, give them a Krishna conscious education, put on tilak, they have morning program, and it's a wonderful activity because it's bringing people to Krishna. So you judge something, palena paruchiyate. That is Prabhupada's injunction, that you can judge charity by what? The fruit. Balena paruchiyate. Judge something by the result. That's how it was one of Prabhupada's favorite sayings, isn't it? Judge something by the result. So people come to Krishna consciousness. Just like even the other religious organizations do that. They open up schools sometimes, isn't it? And that's how Christianity spread in India. They would open up, isn't it? They would open up schools and they give charity. And, you know, they would actually do things that were actually against the Hindu culture. They would go to people and say, you know, pray to your gods and see if they give you food. And so the people would go pray to the deities, please give me food, please give me food. And the food wouldn't come, obviously, at that point. And then they would say, now pray to Jesus Christ. And they'd pray to Jesus Christ, and then all the Christians would give them food. And actually, Prabhupada said the communists do the same thing. Isn't it? Communists do the same thing. They say, pray to your God, in regard to Christianity, pray to your Christian God, It's a trick, you know, people have it. And save your food, and then pray to the communists. Oh, my dear communists, give us food, and then we gave you bread. And so like that. So we find in India, the Christians have become very proficient at converting people due to this, you know, giving this charity, but giving the people Christianity at the same time, isn't it? In fact, it's a little crazy in India that, you know, if the Hindus want to convert people back from Christianity, there'll be a riot. In other words, there's not equal rights. In India, it's so amazing. You give more rights to the Christians and to the Muslims than you do to the Hindus in India, isn't it? The political leaders give more rights to them than they do to the Hindus. I mean, it's crazy. It's completely crazy. I mean, if a Muslim who was previously a Hindu converts back to Hinduism, then what happens? They kill him. Fatwa, you know, the issue of fatwa against him, they kill him. And anyway, that's just the point that in India, actually, the other religions have more rights, and their places of worship are protected by the government more than the Hindu places of worship. In India, the government takes away the Hindu places of worship sometimes, isn't it? Nationalizes them, takes the money from the hundi.
Yeah.
You've heard about this before? But it doesn't do with the churches or the mosques. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, that's a political issue. I don't want to talk about it.
It's a fact.
It's a fact, yeah. But it's a political issue.
Yeah. Teaches tolerance.
But at a certain point, we shouldn't be tolerant.
Yeah.
Like Arjuna, Krishna wanted to be Arjuna wanted to be tolerant, right?
Yeah.
Arjuna said, he said to Krishna, they're all my family members. How can we enjoy if they die? Peace and love. And Krishna said, you're speaking like a fool. He chastised him, you know. So there's a certain time when tolerance is not required or not the best strategy. So anyway, so therefore, getting back to the point of charity, so therefore in the Krishna consciousness movement, we should actually be compassionate enough, not just as simply as a preaching strategy, but compassionate enough to help people. I mean, like in India, for example, I don't know if you're aware, but 6,000 people, children, die every day due to malnutrition. 25% of the girls don't reach the age of 15 in India. They die before they reach 15. India has a higher malnutrition rate than sub-Saharan Africa. I didn't know if you know that, you know, but you should know that. So therefore, devotees hearing that, and India is the land of religion, India is, you know, the appearance place of Krishna, Ram, practically every incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, except for Lord Varaha. Lord Varaha appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma. But just about everybody else appeared in India. So the devotees should actually serve Mother India in that way by helping with these activities. And devotees are starting to do that in India now. Like in Ujjain, they're doing this prasadam distribution at the schools. And in Vrindavan, there's something going on. And in other places, there's something going on. But that sort of charity should be done. At the same time, you give people Krishna consciousness. Not that you just give people mundane charity, but you have to encourage them to come back to the actual understanding, the Krishna conscious understanding, give people the holy names. So anyway, you judge by the results. So this is an important point. So that actually, it's a little late now, so any questions or comments about any of the points we made? As we got four people watching television today, so watching me.
You are really enlightening us, like that kind of project you are actually doing in Vrindavan. Although you are born in West, but that the way you help in India is really set up a good example. You know? Actually, the need is when I saw that, I have no idea that 25% of people are going for penetration. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm seeing so many girls and boys, they have the color.
Blonde hair.
Yeah.
It's due to malnutrition.
Yeah.
When an Indian person has blonde hair, it's due to the fact that they're not getting enough nutrition in their food.
Yeah, I'm seeing so
It's not that there were some European invaders who who got married to their mother or something like that, and they had the Scandinavian hair, you know. No, it means they're malnourished. Their brains aren't developing. The hair is the least of the problems. I mean, it would be all right to have blonde hair, you know, but the real problem is the brains are not being nourished. There's so many childhood diseases come, and ultimately, you know, people die. Their immune system becomes depleted, and they die. And these are, especially in the holy places like Vrindavan, these are Dhamvasis. Vrindavan or Mayapur. Actually, there's more people starving in Vrindavan than there are in Mayapur. Mayapur actually has more food and wealth in that sense than Vrindavan, than UP has. So, yes, it's very sad. So devotee, if we're actually devotees, we should immediately have a desire to help when we see this. If a devotee is callous means like, you know, you know, that's their karma or something like that. Then that means they're not very advanced in spiritual life. They're like Kanishta Adhikaris. A Kanishta Adhikari is seeing God in the temple, but he doesn't see God anywhere else. And a Madhyama Adhikari sees God in everyone's heart. And Uttama Adhikari sees God everywhere too. So, and of course, an Uttama Adhikari sees Krishna in Vrindavan. But the point is, if we don't feel compassion or impulse to help, that means we're simply on the platform of Kanishta, you know, materialistic devotee. You know, like Prabhupada cried. When Prabhupada saw the people starving in Mayapur, you know the story, that the devotees, you know, the Western devotees that come to India and, you know, they eat opulently, big, big feasts like this. That's another point, you know. We go to India like tourists. And we don't even know what's happening outside of, you know, our little enclave. It's like in Mayapur, you know, you stay in this little fenced-in area and you never get to mix with the people or know the people. It's just like, it's like a very jaded, that means colored, view of what India is. You're not seeing India. You're not really seeing Mayapur if you just stay there. I mean, you're spiritual, maybe ecstatic and everything like that. But so when Prabhupada first opened up the Mayapur temple, you know, devotees were eating their big, big giant plates of prasadam, and they take their leaf plates. And there's always some prasadam left over, you know, because devotees take too much on their plates. Their eyes are bigger than their stomachs. You ever hear that expression? Eyes are bigger. And so they would put all their plates in a big pile, and the children would rummage through the pile along with the dogs, you know.
Yeah. It's true.
And for the leftover prasadam. And when Prabhupada saw that, he was crying. Prabhupada started crying. I mean, so much compassion, Prabhupada. If we don't start crying when we see these things, or at least feel like crying, then what is wrong with us? You know, we're stone-hearted, isn't it? What is wrong? I mean, what have you been doing in the Hare Krishna movement for the last 40 years, you know? Chanting, and you're still angry, and you're still self-centered, you know? You better change the method of chanting. So then Prabhupada started crying, and then he said nobody within, he said like 10 miles or something like that, should go hungry. Prabhupada was crying to see these young children just struggling for food. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, that's their karma. You know, when we say that, that's a Kanishta Adhikari, or a materialistic person will say, that's their karma. They deserve it. They did something wrong in the past. You know, chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. But Prabhupada actually was very concerned. He set up a whole prasadam pavilion there in Mayapur. There's a whole big, near the old kitchen. Just for that. And they used to serve. So many people have different groups of people come in and serve. And, you know, Prabhupada actually wanted that very much. Every one of his temples he wanted prasadam to be served. Like that. So in other words, Prabhupada did feel that sort of compassion to help people, even though it was a material suffering situation. Prabhupada felt that compassion because he understood that people will not take up Krishna consciousness until their basic needs are met. If someone's starving, freezing, how are they going to take up Krishna consciousness? If someone's in the hospital in pain, you know, what do you do when you go in the hospital and someone's in pain? Do you say, just chant Hare Krishna Prabhu, pain is Maya? Do you say that to someone in the hospital? I hope not. you know, someone's suffering terminal cancer, and you say, you're not the body. Your spirit soul, let's say, Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago, you know, wake up out of illusion, spirit soul. You know, how can you talk to people like this? It's completely uncompassionate, right? Instead, you try to alleviate their suffering, help them chant, put a tape of Prabhupada on, just like, you know, we went to the hospital when the devotees were there in Texas, you remember? I didn't just preach Sachi. Of course, Sachi was unconscious, couldn't preach to him. But anyway, I just put a tape on a Prabhupada, you know, just, how can we help? You know. So, any other questions? Yeah.
Didn't some devotee Pandit in Vrindavan open up a big
yeah.
shop? Could we, and they're getting help, a lot of money and help from the Indian government, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it possible for us to do that in India?
We are doing that in India, in certain places.
As time goes by, we can increase similar.
In Tirupati, we're doing it. ISKCON is doing it. In Tirupati, ISKCON is doing it. While Sandapani Muni or Food for Life is doing it in Vrindavan. That's the organization I'm working with.
Like
Bhaktachura Maharaj is doing it in Ujjain.
They have
a big
Mumbai,
shed.
Yeah, maybe Mumbai. Yeah.
Mumbai, they're doing it too, yeah.
With, so they have some good ideas, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we should take that up.
Organized it with the government.
Yeah. I mean, there's money out there from the government and from NGOs, you know, non-governmental organizations to do this sort of thing. So it's just a question of a little brain to organize it. There's plenty of money for those things. People really want to help. Just like in the Food for Life program in the Sandapani Muni schools, we have sponsorship for individual children. Everybody can do that. I mean, it's only like $30 or $50 a month to sponsor one child to go to school to eat. And you get to correspond with the child. It's a very, very easy, you know, no-brainer type of program to do.
Yes, but in March, in the just developed city, they are coming now, means like 5 years ago, how they are now. They are chanting, they are tilaks, everything, they're wearing the cloth. Yeah. And same time, they get an education.
Yeah, they get an education. You know, they go in the morning, they have a morning program, they do puja for the deities, they chant Jai Prabhupada, everybody puts on tilak. You know,
I missed it yesterday, so where is it?
That's in Vrindavan. Vrindavan. We're opening up another school. We're opening up another school in Govardhan. That's one of the projects I'm working on right now.
And Maharaj, is the same school before Krishna Balaram used to go?
No, that's a different school. The Krishna Balaram school originally was for the Westerners and for people around the international school. And now the Krishna Balaram school, Gurukula, is for people, you know, people send their children and they pay tuition for the school. That's a little bit different. Okay. That's for people with a little bit of money, you know, who can pay tuition. But these schools are actually for the poorest of the poor that I'm talking about. And there's 1,000 kids in school. We have 1,000 kids in school now. And we're going to open up another one, which will have another 500 kids. And then one in Govardhan, I hope 600 to 800 kids will be there.
Yeah.
So these are our plans. But
yeah,
but these are big projects. They're feeding a lot of people. I mean, this is more than the VHB is doing. The VHB has total 1,000 people, their children they're taking care of. But this organization is taking care of a lot more than that. And we have programs for the widows, you know, to take care of the women, to give them microcredits, to engage the women and educate them so they can actually progress. It's not a question of just giving mundane charity. We don't give people money. Money doesn't help people. You have to give them the means to help themselves, like education and stuff like that. You know, just if you throw money at the problem, it helps them for one day. But if you actually do something to educate people, they can help themselves. That's the whole idea. So I mean, and we give them Krishna consciousness at the same time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we have material needs as well as spiritual needs. All of them have to be fulfilled to progress in a steady fashion in spiritual life. You can't just deal with the spiritual needs. That's actually incomplete. As long as we're in the body. I mean, if you don't have a body, then you can just deal with the spiritual needs. But most of us have bodies, right? At least as far as last time I checked, I had one. Right? So I have to take care of my needs. I mean, I need to rest at night. If I don't rest, the brain doesn't work, or I get headaches, or I get sick. If I don't eat, I get weak, right? There's needs. What can I do? I have all these needs, you know. But, you know, otherwise I can't serve Krishna with the body. And I'll die. You go to the doctor, like that. Okay, I think it's time because we're going to have to get on with life. We had it's nice we have 6 people watching this morning on television. It's good, isn't it? Okay, out there in television land. Let's see. All right. Let me save that one. All right, class. Okay. I can even ask them with this program, I can even ask them if anyone has any questions out there. You understand? There's this whole thing that I can ask them, like I can, where's that? And go down the chat window. Chat. Chat room. And see who's on, and I can ask them if they have any questions. Okay, Gopal, are you there? No, I don't see Gopal there. Anybody have any questions in the chat room? Nope. Guess not. Okay, I guess that's it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.